This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is the Joy of Summer, Joy 94.9.
What do I love about summer? Actually, not much. I don't like the outside. I don't like heat. But I do love staying inside and listening to Joy.
Summer on Joy 94.9 and online at joy.org.au.
Oh, welcome to our house at the new time slot of 8 o'clock. Woo-hoo. If you didn't realise, we're on now.
Everyone's going to get more BBB for their bounce now that we're on at 8 o'clock.
Now, of course, if you wait until 9 o'clock, you won't hear us, but there is always our podcast. Welcome to our house. Joy, in case you're not sure, Joy 94.9's program about where and how we live in our diverse community. We will explore all aspects of real estate, but please seek professional advice before making financial decisions. My name is David Gale.
Well, good evening, and my name is Russ Masterton, and I'm actually awake tonight. I'm loving this new segment, 8 p.m. What is it like? God, I'm sorry Rory's gone, but I'm really happy for our house. Whether you're buying or selling, renting or sharing, upsizing or downsizing, or just thinking about where you'd like to live, this is the GLBTI Real Estate Show for you, isn't it, Paul?
It sure is, and I'm Paul McClure, and there's one criteria for the music that we play, and that it has to have something to do with houses or homes, and tonight is no different.
I like that.
We look forward to your questions. If you'd like to contact us, you can. Please do by email on air at joy.org.au, by phone 1300 JOY 949. Yes, Gordon's still there at the front desk if you'd like to give him a call and have a chat, or by SMS 0427 JOY 949. That's 0427 569 949.
Now, on tonight's show, we will be talking to Rob Purcell, Assistant Chief Fire Officer from the Metropolitan Fire Brigade, about fire safety around the house. Very important.
I know, and that's the MFB. So we're not talking about, you know, just your local garden hose variety. We're talking about the Melbourne Fire Brigade. And if you've got any questions about fire safety around the home, this is the time to send us an SMS or a message or ring up Gorgeous Gordon or Sizzling Hot Gordon.
Yes.
There's another fire we're going to have to put out later on.
Oh, you are. He's thick. Gosh, that was a big introduction.
Running thick with the dev jokes.
Again.
Well, I've got lots of questions. You've got lots of questions.
I do. So we've got Rob Purcell here. He's from the MFB. And if you're and, you know, thinking about burning down your house to collect some insurance, this is the time to call in and ask Rob a question. Don't believe a word I say.
Are we playing that song, Burning Down the House?
No, maybe we should.
We're not doing that one. We've got the MFB in here. Very
what
serious.
What else is on the show?
Oh, of course. We'll be looking at current rates in the marketplace and some of the sales over the past weekend in our rates check segment. We'll be checking in with the lovely Rosemary in her garden tips. God, love Rosemary. She's
God
fabulous.
Bless her.
And, of course, we'll be checking in with
Lerts.
On days of our
Lerts.
Fantastic. And, Paul, what else are we doing?
Well, you know, as always, we are on a real estate journey with you. We're not the experts, so we get the experts in to share their knowledge and their experience with us and with you.
The kettle's on. You're listening to Our House.
You know, I love the end of that song. It just reminds me that, you know, it's time to talk and we've got action, you know.
Well, is there any action in the rates check segment? Have there been any auction results this week?
We still don't have auction results. It's a pretty quiet old town, Melbourne town in January. I'm willing to bet that we're going to see a great big jump in auctions next weekend.
50,000 auctions next
week. Well,
you'd
think so. I mean, last weekend there was only 147. So we're slowly climbing. We're doubling each week.
Remember that last week of December before we went into the holiday
978
period. Yeah, it was pretty well close to 1,000, which was actually more than the year before, which was the first time that we'd seen in the history of our show where there'd been more than the previous year.
Well, I nearly couldn't type when I saw that there was 147 last weekend. I thought, here we go.
You're excited.
We're back. They had a clearance rate of 83%.
Yep, you'd expect that.
10 were passed in, 42% were sold at auction, and a couple were withdrawn. But what's interesting? Interesting. And we did talk about how buying a house is seasonal, depending on where you live and where you want to buy. Well, a lot of the big spenders this week are down by the beach or in country Vic.
They're down at Portsea, which we actually don't use the P word. We just say, are they buying a house down the beach?
No, they're not. We don't want to live down there with,
Sea change or tree change?
Sea or tree change. But we certainly don't want to be living down at Portsea with, I don't know, who do we know who lives down at Portsea?
Oh, I don't know. The Foxes, perhaps?
Yeah, they do. And they've got that fake beach with the, you know, their...
Well, I don't know. I've never seen it. Well, so who knows what it's
helicopter
like.
That can just fly
sure
in on their own beach.
I'm sure it's really nice. Actually, we're getting a little... We're putting the cart before the horse because if we're going to buy any of these properties, what sort of rates are we looking at in interest rates?
Well, I'm on the beach properties at the moment, so I'll just come back to those in a moment. But Barwon Heads, now they did make the show Sea Change down at Barwon Heads.
Yeah, they did.
Three-bedroom house sold at Barwon Heads this past weekend for $1.2 million.
Oh.
Well, that's a little beach house for us to go down for a weekender.
$1.2 million. I nearly fell off my stool again.
Oh, my goodness. Okay?
Blair Gowrie, another beautiful part of country Victoria,
nice.
Right on the beach.
Well, that's next to Portsea.
That's a little bit further down the way there. Yeah. $1.2 million for a four-bedroom house.
Wow.
Okay. Now, we discuss summertime.
Mm.
All of the people go down to their holiday houses and they think, geez, I'd love a house
they
down here.
They have a great time and they want to
pull all of their money in together and they buy these houses down there, way over inflated prices, and look at you.
Well, Blair Gowrie's the poor man's Portsea, so $1.2 million, that's a bargain if you want to be down that way.
Now, if you can't afford anything down at Portsea or Barwon Heads, and both of those places are absolutely gorgeous, you're going to head up to a nice little place called Eskdale.
Where's that?
Eskdale.
It's on the Omeo Highway.
Right.
It's a nice little country property.
I'm Googling.
Paul's Googling as we speak. Now, you could buy a one-bedder in Eskdale for only $103,000. So I'm telling you,
$103,000.
Yep, $103,000. So
It's near Albury Wodonga.
Oh, lovely! Twin cities, beautiful part of the world.
A little bit of a commute to come to work in the city at the moment.
Beautiful
but
part
still,
of
if you wanted to, you know, maybe tree change, or if you were retiring or something,
there was a population of 436.
Oh, that's my idea of bliss.
It's growing.
Beautiful.
Get out of this 3.5 million city and go to Eskdale. And I've got another one for you to look up, Paul. It's called Granya. Granya. Stunning little township. You can buy this is last weekend's results, listeners. You could have bought a one bedroom in Granya for only $75,000. I'm telling you, it's all
northeastern Victoria.
Is it gorgeous?
On the Murray arm of Lake Hume in the Toowong Shire. 378 km from Melbourne.
Gorgeous, isn't it? Gorgeous. So this time of the year we did say that you would have
that population there is 150.
Oh, I'd love it. I'd love it.
Tiny and
Depends whether you're looking
for
talent.
Everyone.
Now, if you're single and you're looking for talent, you'd probably be through
that
in about a week and a half.
Well, I don't think there'd be many people on Grindr in Granya. That's what
If out of 150, maybe 7 or 8. Who knows?
Well, who knows? But I think you'd be meeting everybody down at the Granya Bowls
Club. I think
you
certainly would.
That's right. Or at the CWA. You'd all have a knit-a-thon down there. Now, listen, Ocean Grove has gone off this week.
Oh, it's beautiful down
More
there.
More of these sales in beachside Victoria. I can't even believe the price of this property, boys.
Tell.
Four bedrooms, Ocean Grove, $1.8 million. So we did say that people would go crazy at this time of the year and buy these seaside resorts, and they have. David, you live in the gorgeous Port Melbourne.
Well, I'm coastal. I live down at Port Melbourne.
But we call you
if
the
I
beach
dweller.
If I sold
my place and my other place, I still couldn't afford any of these places that you're talking
about.
I'm
the city liver. You're the beach dweller.
Yes,
and Paul lives in the country.
Right.
So what we're doing is looking at Port Melbourne. Now, Port Melbourne is a beach suburb.
Yeah, it is.
Three-bedroom house there, $1,750,000.
Wow.
I know.
Wouldn't actually surprise me because there's some big places. And, you know, we're two suburbs away from the most expensive suburb in Melbourne per square metre, which is Middle Park.
Exactly. Now, so it sounds
probably
to me,
one of the older Victorians, maybe, or
and a beautiful suburb.
Cottages.
Beautiful suburb. If you're looking for a large gay share, Traralgon.
Yes.
Now, Traralgon, 5-bedroom house, went up and was sold for $212,000. Could you imagine?
5 bedrooms are $212,000.
That's right.
$1,000.
You could fit a gaggle of gays in there. You could fit, you know, a ton of dykes on bikes. It'd all be happening down
at
Traralgon.
See, I would have stopped bidding at $200,000 and missed out. But well, to borrow that money to buy one of those places, what sort of rates are we looking at this week?
Well, I can tell you quite honestly that the rates are stagnant. So they're steady.
There's a little bit of movement because remember the NAB 2-year fixed rate introductory offer had gone up to about 3.7, 3.8, 3.9 over the past few weeks.
Because you might be in the market, right?
No. I've just sort of been watching, listening to you each week. So what was the rate this week?
All right. Well, loans.com.au is our cheapest at 3.59%.
So standard.
Standard. We've got NAB at 3.98%.
See, so they're up at 9.8.
There's our bank of choice, and they were at Midsummer. So support.
A month or so ago, they were down at 3.75.
Support NAB. Absolutely. We love them. And then we've got the usual crowd all around that 3.59 to 3.6%. 0.4%. So we've got loans.com, State Custodians, UBank, Greater Banks Limited. So the mortgage brokers must be going insane. You go and see your mortgage brokers and they've got a list of, I don't know, anywhere from 10 to 20 banks that they could go to that are offering rates well under 4%.
But you're going to keep an eye on those rates because as we've discussed before, there is a chance
burst
over
later
this coming, current year that there will be rates going up independent of the RBA.
Okay, again, if you're looking for property that is under $190,000, you need to move to Country Victoria. You know, there's a lot of investors in our community and there's lots of people that are trying to get into the marketplace. There's nothing wrong with living in places like Locksport, Orbost, Churchdale, Church Hill, that is actually, Meribyn, Moe, Kerang, Stawell, Morwell. All of those places are going to get you 2-, 3-, 4-bedroom houses for under $200,000.
And many of them might be on the train line, you know, some of the corridors like the train to Ballarat, the train to Bendigo, the train certainly out to the Latrobe Valley. And, you know, you can pick up a bit of a lifestyle as well as a good place to live. And then if you have to commute to the city, well, you know, you can always be doing stuff on the train. What do you
Nothing
do on the train in the morning? You're on your phone, you're on your PC, you're on your Kindle.
Yeah, prepare my work for the day before I get there. Yeah, it's good. It's less stress than having to drive and find a park.
You see, Paul and I were born and bred in country Victoria down at Geelong. I'm from Port Arlington and he's from Grovedale.
Grovey.
And there's nothing wrong with us, lads. We had a lovely childhood.
Perfectly.
Down in the Gong.
Even if you have an old Mercedes, there's still room for a pony.
Exactly right. Exactly right. I've got an old Mercedes in Richmond, but I would love to have a new pony in Kerang.
Room for a pony.
Well, absolutely. There's our rates check for this week. Thank you, gentlemen, for checking
indulging
me.
Indulging.
Hi. Come on into our house on Joy 94.9.
Well, it's great to be here on our house and tonight.
At the new time.
Well, at the new time of 8 o'clock. Tonight, we're going to be talking all about fire safety. And we've got a very special guest here tonight. We have Rob Purcell, who is the Assistant Chief Fire Officer at the MFB. Welcome, Rob.
Thank you. Lovely to be here.
Great to have you here. Look, the MFB is well known. Melbourne Fire Brigade, we all rely on the MFB, we rely on the Fire Brigade without actually realising it because they provide a very big job and a very big role for the whole of this city of the metropolitan part of Melbourne, which is growing all the time. What's your history with the MFB?
Yeah, so I joined the MFB 28 years ago. So like all firefighters, we all come through a recruit program.
Yeah.
We spend time at fire stations and go through a promotional program if you choose to become a manager of a fire station. Or in my case, after a period of time, I chose to go and get some education and do some different things and ended up doing what I'm doing now, which is running community resilience and education programs for the Metropolitan Fire Brigade.
So you were out there fighting fires, home fires. Look, there's lots of awful jobs that you have to do as well. Like, you know, there's definitely first aid and there's car accidents. There's obviously tragedies in firefighting and things like that. But you would have been you know, hosing down houses as they were going up in flames, and people are going, oh my goodness, what about the TV and what about the fridge?
Yes, yes. So you do see an extraordinary piece of life when you're a firefighter. You get to do everything that everybody doesn't want to do. You get to run into things when everybody's running the other direction, sometimes when you don't want to. So you do get to see some extraordinary things in your career.
I mean, firefighters are pretty brave people as well. I mean, I expect it's all about safety these days as well. But, you know, we don't want to end up in our own house fires, do we, Russ?
No, certainly not. I mean, I'm actually glad that Rob's in here, because I've been living in the same house in Richmond for 10 years now. And to be honest with you, as owner, I have done very little to prepare my house for a fire. I go to work every day. I did get a letter from the council last week telling me that a tree of mine needs trimming because it's coming too close to the power lines. But other than that, I don't do anything from one summer to the next to prepare my house. All I do is change over the batteries in the fire alarms. But I'm keen to hear Rob's tips tonight, because I'm going to be, you know, spending my weekend fixing a few things up around the house by the sound of it.
Not too much. That's the beauty of our system, is that we've given you subliminal messages over the years that you've taken on board, such as changing your battery when we change our clocks for the changing of the seasons.
Yep.
And people just generally do them. So we educate kids at the age of 5. They take the education we give them, they take it home to their parents, they talk about it with their parents, and they take it back to school again. And we know third generation of that piece of education has carried through people through all of their lives. So we try to get into your head, because it's a very hard market to break into to tell people about fire safety. It's not exactly a sexy subject. So. No.
Well, on that though, I mean, I remember the ads when I was growing up of get down low and go, 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 and there's just those catch cries that you do. They stick in your head.
Yep.
They stick in your head.
So that's the stuff that we promote with kids in prep and in young classes, and we know our research tells us they carries them through their life. So
well, that's great.
Yeah. Well, when I was a child, we didn't have smoke alarms for a start, and you know, I know that I've got to change the battery every year.
Have you got one now? Change.
Of course I do. I live in a modern apartment, but there's also, you know, sprinklers and things like that. So in newer places, there's things like that. But I do remember visiting a fire station when I was a child, and you know, the whole of us at school went along. We slid down the pole. We loved it. We thought it was the best thing since sliced bread. Does that still happen?
In Melbourne, it only happens at one fire station. That's Eastern Hill Fire Station here in the city. We've taken all the poles out because they were causing too many injuries.
Probably with the children that were gluten-free, I would suggest.
No, with the firefighters.
With the firefighters themselves having a bit of fun and going up and down the
poles. Well, you know what those pole dancers are like.
I know.
Now, your role is to promote fire safety in the home. Now, if I asked you, if there was one piece of advice that you could give our listeners, what would it be?
The most important thing is to take responsibility for your own fire safety in your home. And it's really simple. If you're in a domestic dwelling, it's a residential smoke alarm. And you can buy a residential smoke alarm for about $25. You can get one that lasts you 10 years and you don't even have to change the battery anymore. Uh-huh. You can bang one in all of your bedrooms and all your living rooms, and you can be, pardon the pun, as safe as houses for the rest of your life.
Is it against the law not to have one, Rob?
It is. It was made law in 1997 that every house has to have a smoke alarm. Smoke alarm. And over time, the rules have changed and they've become, the rule has gone more in the favour of more smoke alarms and hardwired smoke alarms. And we did see a massive drop off in preventable deaths after it became law. In 1997, we were at about 30 preventable deaths per year, and now we average across Victoria about 5 preventable deaths per year.
Wow, that's staggering. Yeah.
So you did mention prior to coming on air that that there's some 3,500 fires each year in Melbourne that the MFB attends.
Can't believe that figure.
I know, it's a huge
3,500 fires. Yep.
That's just residential house fires.
That's 10
enormous,
a day.
It is enormous.
So our stats actually show, and I'll bring this into the conversation about what MFB does, is we get 3,500 house fires per year, but we also now attend probably 5,000 medical responses per year in combination with the ambulance service for things such as heart attacks and patients who aren't breathing or don't have a pulse.
10 house fires a day. Does that include false alarms, or this is actual house fires?
No, this could be a house fire from no false alarms in that number. Yeah. A house fire is from a pot burning on a stove to a fully involved house burning to the ground.
I just can't believe it. Mm.
Speaking of false alarms, if I was to call the fire brigade for no good reason and get you guys to come out to my house and there's really no fire, what would be the consequences of that?
We would introduce you to Mr. Policeman.
Thought so.
But having said that...
It's quite a hefty fine,
a different kind of man in uniform, Paul, and you don't want to know that one.
But we encourage people, if they think they have a problem, to call us. Yeah. There's no fee for calling us. We come and help you, and there's an issue. Even if you're scared of something, you think there's something's on fire, you call, we'll
Better
come.
Better to be safe than sorry, the old adage.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I will admit, having been the chairman of an owner's corporation over the years, false call-outs do attract a charge from the MFB for coming out of around about somewhere anywhere between $2,500 and $3,500. So if you're in a block of apartments and there's a number of false call-outs, you know, often it could be one of the tenants who might have a whole lot of smoke in their apartment. Instead of opening their window, they might open the door to the hallways. The hallway starts picking up the smoke and off goes the alarm. Mm. And some of those things are chargeable back to the owner's corporation, which in the end costs a lot of money, and the owner's corps these days sort of go $3,500. We can't believe it.
So the fees we have for fines, particularly in that environment, and mostly in commercial properties, are quite high because we encourage people to maintain their fire alarm systems. And you maintain them, it costs less. It's better for you all around.
All right.
That's interesting. Well, Rob, I'd like to come back to you in a minute and talk about how we can best prepare our homes to avoid and bring your stats down. So,
absolutely. That's what we're here for.
We're talking to Rob Purcell, Assistant Chief Fire Officer from the MFB.
That time of night on our house, Joy 94.9. It's Rosemary's Garden, and Rosemary's on the line. Are you there, Rosemary?
Yes, I am here.
Hi, Rosemary. It's Russ. We've got the MFB with us this week. We've got Rob from the Metropolitan Fire Brigade. Is your house fire safe?
Well, I hope it is.
Well, that's probably the main thing. Hey, Rosemary, are you okay with us calling you an hour earlier?
Yes, yes.
It's a godsend.
It is. It's great.
I told my granddaughter we read a bit later on.
That sounds good. Have you got a smoke alarm, Rosemary?
I've got two smoke alarms.
Fantastic.
Yeah, see, Rob's smiling. He thinks you're fire ready.
Yeah. Tell us what...
I've got a fire blanket and all.
Oh, my goodness. Tell us, what are we going to be talking about on Rosemary's Garden this week?
We're going to be... we're talking about propagation.
Propagation.
Oh, goodness me. Are we allowed to talk about that at this time of night?
Oh, well, I think so, especially on your type of a show.
So, to simplify things for people who don't have green thumbs like myself, you're talking about cuttings.
I'm talking about cuttings, yes, okay, if that's what you want.
But we can say propagation or cuttings.
Yes, yes, yes.
So what's the go?
This is the time of the year that you get your tip cuttings and everything and you start to propagate.
Right. And what does that mean exactly?
That means that you take the top piece off, like your geraniums and your fuchsias and those sort of things, and put them in your pots with some good soil.
Mm.
And you... pelargoniums, geraniums and all of that, in 6 weeks you'll have a new plant.
Oh, right. Ah,
so we were talking about geraniums last week. Now, if I take a piece off my geranium and I cut it down, should I cut it below like the little knobbly nut bit in it, or should I do it above that, or where do I cut it on the actual geranium?
Well, you cut it, you virtually nearly strip most of your leaves off it.
Yeah.
Right.
You cut a piece about, now we're going to talk in inches or in, because we'll have to talk in inches.
Inches are fine.
Inches is fine.
Because I'm not real great in...
Yeah, that's okay. Let's go inches.
in centimetres. So you cut a piece about, say, 6 inches long off the top of your geranium, pelargonium or whatever it is, strip it down, leave a couple of leaves on the top.
Yeah.
And put it in honey.
In honey?
A little dip of honey, and then put it in the dirt.
What does the honey do to it, Rosemary?
The honey, I don't know, but it will make it grow.
Okay.
That's worked for you over the years.
Yes.
I'm going to try that tomorrow, I can tell you, because I've got some geraniums and, you know, they're doing quite well, but I'd like to spread them out on some other plants because they are really easy to grow, as we learnt last week on our house. So dip it into honey and then straight into the ground, a good water,
yeah, and in 6 weeks they should have rooted by with the weather being like it is now.
All right.
You know, so keep them damp.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just put them into your pot. And they're the easiest things to grow like that, and fuchsias will do the same.
But the key is
to cutting about same length for a fuchsia.
The key is to do it now, though, because before the weather changes and gets too cold, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you've got a chance of they'll be growing.
They'll be a lot stronger by then.
If you wait until it gets cold, they're dormant, most of those sort of plants. You know, they have a bit of a downtime in the winter time.
Okay.
Your geraniums don't grow as well during the winter.
With my 15-centimetre piece, which is 6 inches long, how far do I have to push that down in? Do I push 3 inches down into the ground or, like, do I just...
You push about an inch and a half into the ground.
So about a third of it or a quarter of it will go below the ground, just a couple of leaves up the top, the rest of them stripped down so that it's a bare piece except for those little bits at the top, and dipped in honey, straight into the ground, and a good watering.
That's right.
Now, Rosemary, David is hopeless with planting plants. I've been to his flat and everything's almost dead over there, so I'm going to go over next week and I'm going to make sure he's done his propagation and report back to you. He needs honey and geraniums, right?
He needs honey, geraniums, pelargoniums, fuchsias.
And some good soil.
And some good, decent soil.
Decent soil.
Right. Seaweed emulsion fertilising thing again with the water?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't worry about it.
Because it's got honey.
I'd put a bit of that in about after a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Because they'll get a little bit of a shock. Naturally.
I'm going to try it out.
Have you had much success over the years, Rosemary?
Oh, of course I have. I bought one big red geranium.
Oh, I love those big reds.
Yeah, I bought one big red, and I suppose now I've got about 30.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it's a good thing. I mean, you can grow a new plant and give it as a gift to one of your friends, can't you?
Yeah, that's nice.
Easy as can be.
Yeah.
And also, if your other ones are starting to look a bit woody, you get rid of them and put your new ones in the place.
Well, Rosemary, have you got any questions for Rob from the MFB about fire safety?
Well, what am I supposed to... No, I think...
Okay.
How many... What have we talked about to start off with? This is old age, you see.
Smoke alarms, yep.
Smoke alarms. How many should you have in the house?
Well, we recommend that you have one in every bedroom and maybe one or two if you in your corridors. Not in your kitchen. You wouldn't put them in your kitchen because you'll set them off accidentally. And we also recommend that you get your loved ones to come and put them in for you.
Well, I've got mine are... connected to the electricity.
Oh, that's fantastic. Oh,
fantastic.
Oh, so you don't even really have to worry about them.
Yeah.
All right. Well, look, it's been great having you on, Rosemary. I'm taking your advice this weekend, or at least tomorrow. I'm gonna definitely be propagating tomorrow. And Russ has been taking your advice. I will be putting up a photo on our Facebook page tomorrow to show how Russ's geranium has gone. So that's exciting. If you're listening at all and you want to see how Russ's geranium's gone, you'll see that on our Facebook page tomorrow, which is our house, of course. And thanks once again, Rosemary, for joining us at the earlier hour.
That's okay.
Talk to you later.
And you do good propagation tomorrow.
Thank you, I will.
Have a good week, Rosemary.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Hi, come on into our house on Joy 94.9.
Does she? You are indeed.
She sounds like everybody's mum, which is great.
She does.
Who is it?
Practical advice.
My mother is a gardener.
No nonsense.
Yep. Okay, we have Rob Purcell, Assistant Chief Fire Officer from the MFB, and he's in the studio with us tonight on Our House. And we're talking about fire safety in the home. Now, Russ, you wanted to know what? What did you want to know?
Well, basically tips. I mean, I like what Rosemary said about the fire blanket. I would never have thought of that. What about, emptying your spoutings? What are the best things, Rob? I'm keen to learn. Yeah.
So, look, we talked about smoke alarms before. So we recommend one in every bedroom. We recommend that you test them monthly, clean them with your vacuum cleaner, probably monthly. We know people don't necessarily remember that kind of stuff, but if you test it once a year, we'd be really happy.
Yep.
I wouldn't worry about the gutters. That's bushfire stuff.
Okay,
you know,
cool.
If you're in the bush, of course, in the summer, clean your
book. Just backtracking to the fire alarm, the smoke detector, if you hear beeping from it, is that usually because the battery's gone low?
Yeah, so there's a definite different sound between an alarm going off and the battery being low, and it'll beep spasmodically when the battery's going low, as opposed to shrieking and alarming when it's gone off.
Okay, so just change the battery.
Just
take it out and leave it out.
Please don't take it out. Definitely change the battery.
Okay. Sorry, we were moving on to guttering. Spouting.
Yeah, so look, from our point of view, in a big city, you're not going to get an issue with having dirty gutters and causing fires. So my specialty is stuff in the home. Yep. So, look after your smoke alarms. We get most of our fires happening in the kitchen, over 30% of our fires happening in the kitchen, usually unattended cooking.
And they're just not prepared for them?
No. So, and in the instance where you're not prepared for it, we always say just get out.
Right.
So don't worry about the fire blanket. Right. Don't worry about the extinguisher unless you've been trained to use them.
Yeah.
So get out, take your phone, call 000. You'll get help in the big city in probably under 10 minutes.
Okay. Right. And do a lot of people have fire extinguishers at home these days?
Or no, not that many.
Because there's different extinguishers for different circumstances and different types of fires, isn't there?
Yeah. So if you do have one in your home, it's normally going to be what's called a dry chemical extinguisher. It sort of covers all the bases.
Okay. So like the old ad where they used to go, oh, the chips, and off go the chips into a fire. Like, would you use that sort of extinguisher for that, or would you use...
You would okay. if you had one, but if you've lost the chips like you did in the ad, then once again, get out. Just stay out, basically.
Because smoke is also a big killer as well.
Well, the smoke will actually kill you well before the heat does.
Yeah.
So,
So where are people making their mistakes at the moment, Rob, with these high numbers?
Well, 3,500 fires a year, 10 a day.
That you want to see halved.
So, look, there's a range there. There is accidental, so people getting distracted while they're cooking, the iPhone, the iPad, looking at something else, watching the telly instead of paying attention to the cooking.
Yeah.
About 30% are caused by electrical faults. So, one of the things we would say to people is don't overload your power boards.
Yep.
Don't use double adapters. Don't double piggyback your power boards. Mm. Always use stuff that's Australian standards because at least you can trust it. If you need more power points, get them installed.
Yeah.
So they're the pieces of advice that we would give. So inattention and accidents are the main
things. Are so cheap when you go to a hardware store these days. There's no need to be...
Don't have to be frugal about
that. You don't have to be, do you? Exactly right.
But don't go crazy either, because power boards do cause a lot of fires. So people have the stereo and all the eye charging stuff going on, be mindful that sometimes it's better to consider getting a PowerPoint installed by an electrician.
Yeah, we were talking to Sally Little from Wright Electrics, and she was in studio. She's an electrician, and she was talking about power boards and not to do the piggybacking and all that sort of stuff. Mm. You can easily get a power board that takes four plugs or get another PowerPoint put in. It's not expensive, and if you say a lot of preventable fires are coming from power boards, 17 computer things plugged into with piggybacks and all that sort of stuff, it's just not on, and we know that it's not safe, so we just have to actually get over the inaction, I suppose.
So just don't take the risk, they're the simple piece.
Rob, are you surprised by the stupidity of some people? I don't like to call anyone stupid, but at least half of these fires would be preventable, right?
Yeah. So look, I hate to say it, but I'm never surprised by people's stupidity. but having said that, a momentary lapse of concentration or we don't see a lot of negligence. People being outrageously stupid about how they behave. We see people make mistakes, and we see people do things that they shouldn't do, but, you know, that happens in everything that we do in life.
I was interested with when we were talking to Rosemary, how you said you told her to get some family members in to look after her smoke alarm. So the elderly,
yep.
You know, they should ask for help, right?
Yeah, yep. So we're seeing in the demographics across the city, something we're working really hard to deal with is, you know, we know that by 2030, 25% of the population is going to be over 65 years of age, and over 65s are well overrepresented in home fires.
Right.
By 2030, I'll be over 65.
Yeah, I think we all will. Some of us will. So,
well, you won't be, Rob.
So, so we put a lot of energy into programs working with Department of Housing and people who provide service, Commonwealth packages, to make sure that they're installing smoke alarms and doing home fire safety work to help those who need it the most, which are the elderly, because they're overrepresented in house fires. So we want to see that trend brought down.
Look, it's great to have you in the studio to talk about fire safety. We've actually got some emails to talk about in a few moments. We've got a Joy membership that's been received from Will from Hillside. Thanks for listening to us tonight, and thanks for your membership as well. That's
good
really
on you, Will.
Important.
Glad you're a member.
That's how we fund the radio station, of course. So become a member. If you've got any questions to ask Rob, please send in your questions on 0427 Joy 949.
Hi, come on into our house on Joy 94.9.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our
lives. Lance, are you with us tonight?
Yes, I am. How are you, David?
Oh, look, we're having a great night tonight. We're talking about fire safety around the house, and you've been clearing out your house a little bit more to improve some of its fire safety in a way, haven't you? What have you been up to this week?
Well, this week I've been getting rid of it. Well, sorting out stuff to get rid of, as well as I got rid of I think I told you last week, a sideboard, and they gave me extra room, and I've been able to pack up some things in boxes and starting to label some things to take with me.
Good.
Have you seen any properties at all this week?
When was it? It was last week I saw a property in Lonsdale Street. I'd say probably, the estate agency was about 4.5 squares, which I wasn't so sure about, but it was a studio apartment, and it was in Lonsdale Street between Queen and Elizabeth. And I was very impressed with it, and that was up for sale for $250,000.
That's a bargain.
Well, it is. $250,000 isn't that much.
It's not that much at all, and it was certainly one that if I was in the market for it right now, I would put it on my list.
Good on you. That's great. Lance, we've got the MFB here, Rob from the Fire Brigade, tonight. Have you got smoke detectors in your house?
Yes, I've got two smoke detectors, one in a hallway and another one in the lounge room.
Very good. Very good,
well
Lance.
Done. You've just been given the big tick of approval from the MFB, Lance, so you're doing well.
Hey, have you got any more properties that you're going to be looking at?
I've got another one coming up this coming Monday. When I was looking at the other property, I went and had something to eat, and there was a security guard outside a complex, and I was asking him about it, and he said that he was the manager, actually, he probably wasn't a security guard. He was a manager, actually, of the place.
Oh, like a building manager, probably.
Yeah, so he took me to the estate agent and arranging to see one in South Bank, which is probably a little bit far away, but we'll have a look anyway.
So this is giving you an idea of what you get for your buck, I suppose, how much bang you get for your buck.
That is, yes, and getting an idea of locations. And, you know, there's locations you think, I don't really want to live there. Mm-hmm. Until you really see it, you don't know, I guess.
You better be careful, Lance. You better if you're around the corner from Joy FM, they'll want you doing the switchboard every day of the week.
I better stay in Frankston, hadn't I?
No, that's not the point of the exercise. Look, it's great to catch up with you again this week, Lance, at the earlier time, and we will talk to you again next week.
Thank you. Lovely talking to you and hearing your
program. Okay, bye, Lance.
You're listening to Our House on Joy 94.9.
You are indeed listening to Our House on Joy 94.9, and we...
Oh, sorry, I was just going to do a siren.
That was a fire alarm or a fire siren?
Yeah, whatever.
That was, of course, to signify our guest, Rob Purcell, the Assistant Chief Fire Officer from the MFB, who's talking tonight about home safety and how to avoid fires in your home.
We've had an email.
We have.
Yeah, from Devron. He wants to know about why apartments are different, because they are a little bit different in fire safety, because there's lots of people and there's fire exits and stairwells. They're set up differently, aren't they?
Yeah, they certainly are. Research over a period of time has told us that you've got to build them a different way, because you've got to move a lot more people if there is a fire. They have fire separation between the apartments. They have airlocks in the stairwell so that oxygen stays in the stairwells when people are evacuating. They have fire doors so that fire doesn't burn through the door and affect the exit of people coming out.
I heard that the reason you shouldn't use the lifts during a fire in an apartment block is so that the fireys can get up inside the lift.
We tend to use the lifts as opposed to the residents using the lifts, but it's mostly because if you push the button in a lift when you're trying to evacuate, you don't know what floor it's going to stop on.
Yeah.
It stops on the floor the fire's on, you're toast, basically.
Wow.
So how would you guys overcome that? Well, you've got your uniforms on.
Well, we use the
fire guys. No, but if you stepped on that floor, wouldn't you get a gust of...
No, well, we use the fire isolated stair to get to the floor below the floor that the fire's on, and then we would set up our hoses and we would take them up to the floor that the fire is on from there.
Okay. So obviously you have to be fully prepared for big fires in multi-storey buildings. We had that big fire in Docklands, I think the year before last, which was all to do with flammable cladding on the building.
Yeah.
So
yep.
How did they approach that?
Well, we got lucky. We put a combination of luck and good building design, where the building was fully sprinkled. The building had fire hydrants inside that the firefighters could tap into. Thankfully, people paid attention and evacuated quickly. We got 400 people out of that building in 20 minutes. And we managed to get our fire appliances there to deal with the fire at the same time. So, you know, good luck and a combination of good planning on our part.
What happens if I live in an older style apartment which wouldn't have fire stairs like the new apartment blocks, and let's say I'm on the third floor? What happens if there's a fire on the first floor? What's going to happen?
So it depends on how tall your apartment block is.
Yeah.
So the regulations say over 25 metres it'll have a sprinkler and it'll still have a fire stair, but the compartments that are the apartment, so an apartment is built as a compartment to maintain the fire in that space for a certain amount of time, and it gives us time to get on scene and deal with the fire. So
if the apartment's somewhere out there, I shouldn't leave the apartment, or I should stay inside?
There is some thought that it's better to actually stay in your own apartment rather than get out and expose yourself to the smoke and the fire. But we would always suggest at this point in time, we haven't validated that kind of research. Mm-hmm. We would say if the apartment, you know, three apartments away is on fire, then it's best to get out and meet at a safe place on the street.
Yeah.
Now, there are different ways you can prepare a fire safety plan. There's a booklet that you can download, isn't there?
There is. I was having a look before the show. There's a very, very...
Comprehensive.
Yeah. That's the word that was escaping me right then. If you go to the MFB website, there's an offshoot of that called the Safe Mistake Zone, and it's got a lot of information about... There's a home fire safety checklist. There's what to look for with your smoke alarms. There's also, as you say there, David, a home fire escape plan. So it's got a blank little grid, and you draw your house layout on it and formulate an escape plan.
So can we actually link that? We'll link that to our podcast, don't you think?
Yeah, yeah. Rob, but it's full of a lot of information.
That'll be up tomorrow.
Sorry. You got any other tips for our joisters?
So the only one I'll touch on is the difference between being an owner and a renter. So an owner is responsible for the fire safety provisions in a rental property, and the only thing the renter is responsible in a rental property is to test the smoke alarm, for example. So if your smoke alarm's not working and you're a renter, then you call the owner and say, please come and replace my smoke alarm. So your responsibility just rests with testing.
Yes.
And we went through, unfortunately, a court case recently about some young men who died in a home fire who didn't know what a smoke alarm was, didn't know how to test it, and subsequently in cahoots with CAV, at Consumer Affairs Victoria.
Yeah.
We've done some work to remind people that the owner is always responsible for the smoke alarm in a in a rental property, and the renter is only responsible for testing.
So if you're a landlord, I've noticed certainly as a landlord as well, that there's services you can ring up and they go around and they often test all of the smoke alarms in one apartment block, and you know it might cost about $90, $99 or something like that, and they go in, they test, first off they change the batteries, and then secondly they spray a fake smoke to make sure that it's actually working. And you know that's deductible as a landlord against the income that you're receiving, so it's well worth investing in that, or at least making an inspection yourself, because otherwise you're going to be held liable.
That's right, you carry the risk.
Problems, yeah.
Well, thanks very much for joining us tonight, Rob. It's been extremely informative, and I would recommend anybody who's listening to go to the MFB website, mfb.vic.gov.au, and just check it out. Have a look at what your rights and responsibilities are as far as fire safety is concerned. The fire safety booklet that we were referring to before, comes in 22 languages, so there's no excuse to not know how to protect yourself from fire in your home.
And as Rob said before, take responsibility yourself.
Yeah.
And Rob, we do want to get that figure down. We don't want 3,500 fires for you guys to deal with every year. We need to get it at least down to half of that. So.
Yep, let's work on that together as a community. That'd be fantastic.
Don't forget, of course, to buy the firefighter's calendar. You'll see Rob on May. He's Mr. May this year. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.